And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to join you today. There's a saying, it takes money to make money. That statement is true. I'll give you a very basic example. Take $100,000 in a savings account that's earning 4% annually. Well, congratulations. Over the course of a year, you will have earned $4,000. That 100 would become 104. Now, if you only had $20,000 in that same savings account, you would earn $800. It's a very basic example of it takes money to make money. The more you have, the more you can make. But allow me to share something absolutely incredible, and it's the beauty of real estate. I can use money that I do not own, that is not mine, and I can still earn a return off of money I don't own. You heard me correctly. I can use money that I don't own to make money. That's investment debt. That is good debt. It's money that I borrow. It's not money that I own. I only agree to pay it back at a set interest rate, but I can still earn money that I don't own. I can use others' money to earn more, even though I don't own it. Take that same $20,000 example, right? I'm going to use real basic numbers here, and you use it as a down payment on a $100,000 rental home. Now, I know rental homes cost more, but I'm just, for the math, I'm giving you a very basic example. $100,000 rental home, I put $20,000 of my own money in, and I borrow an additional $80,000, the mortgage, I borrow that from the bank. It's loaned to me. I don't own that $80,000. So how do I make money on that? Well, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to rent the home out. Let's imagine the same home has a $1,500 per month lease. I pay the bank back what they require. They require you to pay back principal and interest. Principal on the money you borrowed, interest on the money you borrowed. I also pay the taxes and insurance monthly. And the remainder left over, I get to keep that. Let's say that portion is $2,400 a year, $200 a month, right? Small amount, but it's still positive in my favor. Now, the second way, I mentioned principal and interest. The principal means when we're paying that little portion of the principal each and every month, I am reducing the obligation I owe the bank. Let's call that an additional $200 a month of principal that I'm paying back. There's another $2,400 per year. Now, using the methods that we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited in buying a distressed property. We're not buying the nice property. We're buying the distressed property, and we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. We're going to make it clean and functional, a great place to live for somebody. And when we fix it, that asset is worth more than we purchased the asset for. We use a hard money loan. The hard money loan pays for the rehab. We get in and out of that loan within 90 days. But let's imagine our after repaired value is $110,000. That's an equity capture of $10,000. It's not realized, but it's still part of my net worth, an additional $10,000. You can only count that in the first year of your returns, but that's 50% of the $20,000 that you came out of pocket. Now, let's talk about appreciation. Let's be very conservative. Let's call a 3% annual appreciation. The home will go up 3% per year. That $100,000 home, just with simple appreciation, will be worth $103,000 at the end of the year. There's an additional $3,000 that you earn. Let's talk about tax benefits. We're going to depreciate this rental asset over 27 and a half years. You can do that within your taxes. So you use depreciation. It's a phantom loss, but you're offsetting that $200 per month income from the rent. You're going to offset that. That's going to be tax-free. That's going to feel like more than $200 if it's tax-free. So all in, 1 year, I borrowed $80,000. I came out of pocket $20,000, but my net worth increased $17,800, all with that same $20,000 investment. That is an 89% return. Yes, it takes money to make money, but in real estate, it doesn't have to be your money. You can borrow from our best friend, the bank, the lender, investment debt. That, in a nutshell, is how we earn with real estate. Now, let's say you don't have $20,000 to start, right? You're just breaking even. You're not getting ahead. You do want to invest in real estate. You do want to take money and make money. Well, friends, what you need to do, if you don't have any money for down payment, if this is where you're starting, you're going to trade sacrifice and discipline to find the money to start. If you stick with me for the entire show, I'm going to share a parable that will drive home the idea of sacrifice and discipline to finding the money that you need to get started to invest so that you can make money on money. So follow me. That parable will be later in the show. Right now, I want to talk about the time value of money. I've got a concept I want to share. The time value of money is the concept that the sum of money is worth more now than that same sum of money will be at a future date due to earning potential. The time value of money is a core principle of our philosophy, of our mindset as real estate investors. I fully understand that that money in my hand now has greater value than that same amount in the future. I say take the money now. And average Americans, they make the decision to choose later without really thinking it through. It's conventional wisdom. It's ingrained in everybody from a very early time in our lives. Save for a rainy day, have the 401k, have the IRA. All of that is based on future money. It's not today's money. Even the Roth is all about later. It's later without the tax implications. Now, there's a huge fear, and I get emails all the time, and people have money in their IRA or they have money in their 401k that they can use to become and begin investing in real estate, but they're frozen. They're frozen solid because of the 10% penalty. And if you don't know this, if you pull money out of a 401k or an IRA before you're age 59 and a half, the government will dock you a 10% penalty. And this scares people. And I get these emails from people that won't touch their IRA. And they may be 52, 53 years old, maybe even in their mid-40s. But in the same, when they're talking to me, these same folks will tell me later on in the email as we're having the discussion back and forth, they'll say, well, my plan is to start pulling my Social Security when I'm 62, but I don't want to pull any money out of my IRA or 401k now because I'll get a 10% penalty. These are two opposite, completely different strategies, and these folks haven't even thought about it. They haven't even thought it through. So on one hand, they don't want to take their money now because of the 10% penalty, right? The early withdrawal on their retirement funds. But then again, they're telling themselves, hey, I'm going to pull Social Security when I'm 62. Well, if you pull it when you're 62, the government's not going to pay you the full value of what that Social Security's worth. You'll take a 30% hit if you take it early. But these are the same people. And I'm saying to myself, what are you? Are you someone who believes your money is worth more later or somebody who wants it now? If you're pulling your Social Security money early, you're basically saying at that age, I want it now, so I believe in the time value of money today. But on the other, if you're not going to pull your IRA or 401k money to get started as a real estate investor, you're saying the money's worth more later. So two complete different concepts, but you got to understand a lot of people think just like that. I say take the money now because as real estate investors, we can deploy those funds into investments. I gave you a very simple analogy earlier, example earlier of how you take $20,000 and in 1 year we earn $17,000 plus on that same 20 grand. That's money today. Think about it like this. Let's talk about this 10% penalty. If you pulled $100,000 early from your IRA, took the 10% penalty, you're down to $90,000. After taxes, you're somewhere around $63,000, okay? It's a big hit. The taxes are going to come, whether you pay them later or whether you pay them now. Understand that. And I have done this, my friends. you buy three houses, two or three houses with that $63,000, rental properties. All, let's say, and right now we're getting 100% equity captures on properties we're buying. That $63,000 will become $120,000 in net worth in 1 year. Yes, unrealized, it's in the form of sticks and bricks and shingles and countertops and sheetrock, but it's in that rental property. You own it. That's your net worth. Your net worth is not always gauged on greenbacks. It can be gauged on assets. So in that example, if you took 63, turned it into 120,000 in 1 year, 3 years later, you sell, you get all your equity back, and you take your 120,000 into five houses, again, all with 100% equity capture. In a short amount of time, you took 63,000 and created $240,000 investing in real estate. If you were to do that, would you sweat the 10% penalty that you paid initially? No. And it took me a while to get there, but I did it. But the 10% penalty, looking back, is nothing. It is nothing to put your money to work for you now. That's the time value of money. How absolutely it is important it is to understand that. All right. Now the part where you don't have money to get started, right? You need to find the funds, the acquisition of funds to get started. Preferably, you can do this when you're young, but it's never too late to start. I get a ton of emails on this subject. Just people, they don't have the money to start investing, and they want to figure out how to do it. Well, if you've got the retirement funds, hit those, right? Again, that was a decision it took me 5 years to do. Del Walmsley, at my first financial freedom seminar, he was the teacher. This was back in 2013, and I rode with him to lunch, and he was asking questions of everybody that was in the car, and I had a self-directed IRA with a house. That self-directed IRA owned the house. Del basically looked at me and said, if you are serious about investing in real estate, you would cash out that self-directed IRA and put it to work for you. It was a gut punch. And again, it took me 5 years to get to that point. I don't want you to wait the 5 years. I want you to understand the time value now. If you've got to pull and pay the 10%, it's not that big of a deal, provided you're investing it properly. You're investing it in real estate the way we teach. But here's the truth. Most people won't do it. They won't do it. They're just stuck in quicksand because of the 10% penalty. Other people that need money to get started, sacrifice and discipline. I have a parable that I want to go into sacrifice and discipline to getting the seed money to get started. And this parable came to me. I was listening to Del on the radio, Del Walmsley, our founder of Lifestyles Unlimited. He does the radio show as well, if you're unaware, and you can subscribe to us on your smartphone. But there's Del's show, there's Andy's show, there's Al Webb's show, there's my shows on there. But he did a show I heard one time, and it was where he's talking about the tale of the golden goose. Take care of the golden goose, nourish the golden goose, feed the golden goose, and the golden goose will bless you with golden eggs each and every month. And if you neglect the golden goose, well, you get nothing in return. If the golden goose falls ill and you don't take care of it, you get nothing. That's the same metaphor like a single family rental property. That is the golden goose. You give a property that's in poor condition a makeover, a rehab, you fix everything, you take care of it, you make it the best product, the best price, the way we teach. What you get in return is an appreciating asset that you can lease to a great resident. Think about it like this. You're giving a family, you're giving a person a clean, functional place to live, and in return, you will get cash flow. That is the metaphorical golden goose each and every month. Now, I'm going to share my own parable starting on the other side called The Farmer and the Bull, and it will drive home the sacrifice and discipline it takes to get started.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. If you have any questions or comments for me or just don't know where to get started, I'm here to help. Please send me an email, askmike@luinc.com. askmike@luinc.com. I want to share a parable. It's a story I read as a kid decades ago, but it ties in to the way many of us needed to sacrifice and have discipline in our life to start investing in real estate, right? To find the money to invest. It takes money to make money. And if you don't have the money to start, it's going to take sacrifice and discipline. You can find the money. But it's the way many of us started. I have many friends that started out very similarly. They realized they needed to change their life. They were at a point. How do they do it? Where do they get the money to begin investing in real estate? You've got to get that initial seed money so that you can grow it at a rapid pace. So this story, I will tie it into real estate, so stay with me. And I read it as a kid, I don't know, sixth, seventh grade. I don't remember the title of the story. If anybody knows, please send it to me. My email, askmike@luinc.com. But it goes like this. It's in the Middle Ages, maybe the Dark Ages, but it took place hundreds of years ago, okay? There's a village, and in this village, the families basically lived on small sustenance farms, right? They grew their own food. What little bit of food they had extra, they would sell, but it was barely enough to get by. And the way everyone in the village made money is everyone has a cow, okay? And they take care of this cow. They feed the cow food that they grow on their small sustenance farms. And the way they made money from the cow is they would take care of the cow, feed the cow, milk the cow, and they would take the milk into town and sell the milk. And that's really how they made their income. And every morning, the farmer's son would go out, he'd take care of the cow, he would milk the cow, and then he would take the milk into town and sell it for a few pennies. And that's how they made their living. He would bring it back to his father, the farmer. Now, if you didn't take care of the cow, if the cow fell ill or died, those were bad times. Those families would suffer greatly. Many people would be turned out of their homes, or they would lose the farm or be arrested for not paying taxes. So you can understand the miserable circumstances in this village, but this is how the people lived. Terrible conditions, no way to succeed, no way to become wealthy. And this goes on and on. This is generational, and it's the only way of life the farmer's son knows. But deep in his heart, the farmer's son is hoping and praying for a better life. And one day the old man, the old farmer, is out chopping wood, and he sees this poor beggar, basically, and he has a small bull by his side, and he's begging people to buy the bull. Please buy the bull. This is all I have. I need just a few pennies so that I can feed myself. And he's trying to sell the bull, and no one will take the bull. Nobody wants it. People in the village understood that bulls don't provide milk. There's no way to get ahead, and it's just another mouth to feed, right? They don't have the means to feed this bull. A bull eats a lot of food, after all. It grows and it eats more and more, but it provides no milk. And this beggar is just wailing that if no one buys the bull, he'll have no choice but to slaughter this young bull for meat. And it's such a young bull, there's hardly any meat there anyway to sell. So the farmer takes pity on the beggar, the old man, and he says, I have but a few pennies to spare. I will trade them for your young bull. And the beggar is crying tears of joy, gladly sells the bull to the farmer. Now the farmer must go home with the bull, and he knows his wife is not going to be happy. He's traded the few pennies that they have, not for a day's food, not for a week's food, but for a young bull that is of no use, and it's always and is only going to cost his family precious resources. The farmer's wife meets the farmer at the gate and basically just begins chewing on him. What are you doing? She's not happy. She doesn't understand at all what's going on. The bull is not just another mouth to feed. It's a huge mouth to feed, but the farmer takes it. He has this and he begins to raise it over the objections of his wife, who sees no wisdom in this whatsoever. He begins feeding the bull. The young boy is afraid. I mean, after all, they're already skinny and hungry and tired from the day's labors, and now they have this extra bull they need to take care of. So the farmer tells his son, after milking the cow, give half of the milk to the bull and sell the rest. The boy complains. They're really not getting any money right now, but the farmer insists. And for the first year, the family shared one-third of all the food they grew and half the milk. They were starving and doing without. No new boots, no winter jackets. They suffered. In the second year, it was even worse, barely surviving. Skin and bones, clothes are threadbare. There's no extra money to repair the home or mend the home or repair the leaks in the roof. And the villagers mocked them, laughed at the boy, picked on the boy. But the old farmer was resilient. He was steadfast. Take care of the bull. The bull and the cow are so important. Their care comes first. And then after the second year, the cow became pregnant. Soon the cow gave birth to another baby cow. Yet the farmer and his family still suffered. It's even worse now. They've got to feed a bull and two cows. Nothing is left over. The family basically doesn't have anything to eat. They have nothing they can sell. They're barely surviving through the winter. And so the farmer took and he sold his tools and he sold his firewood so that they can survive and that he could provide for his family. But what came in the spring was nothing short of a miracle. The baby cow had matured and soon she had milk. The boy would milk both cows, give the bull his share, and sell the rest. Soon they had extra money, enough money to buy the tools back for the farmer, enough money to buy firewood, enough money to buy boots and coats for the family to repair the house. The farmer was even able to save a few extra pennies. And after another year, both of those cows gave birth, this time to two more cows. The farmer had saved enough to where he could provide for his small herd and provide for his family. In yet another year, the milk was overwhelming. They made more and more money selling the milk produced from the cows. Passive income, my friends, compounded income. That's the fourth type of income that we talk about as real estate investors. He sacrificed, and now he's a wealthy family. He has respect from the villagers. He has a larger farm. He has a better house. Land for their milk cows, land for their few bulls that they have now. The farmer was able to hire helpers to tend the herd and milk the cows. And the farmer repeated the process and instructed the boy. And in time, they were the wealthiest and most generous family in town, respected by the villagers who remembered the sacrifice that they made to care for this young bull that no one could see the light in only a few years before. Now, what's interesting is you can see how real estate investing can compound itself, just like the story of the farmer and the bull. But the path takes sacrifice, it takes discipline, it takes doing without, it takes making the tough decisions to change your life and your future. If you don't have much money to invest, what do you need to do? Yes, it takes money to make money. Well, you've got to change your life, right? Again, you're wanting to live the life that others don't live, so you've got to do the things that others don't do. Do without. Reduce your expenses. Sell stuff. Get creative, but find a way to get the money, right? Get your milk cow. Get your golden goose. Get your bull to repeat and grow and take care of it. Save and repeat. But once you get started, it's easier to continue. It takes more effort to get started than to keep moving. It's true. It takes more effort. That first rental property that I bought using the Lifestyles Unlimited method was very difficult for me. It took me a while to get over the hump and buy the distressed property, but it turned out to be a fantastic investment. I had to have the knowledge that I learned from the education at Lifestyles Unlimited to get the confidence, right? Knowledge and education will give you confidence. So when I started out, all of my money was in 401ks and IRAs, okay? And this was before I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I thought, well, I was doing what the conventional wisdom world tells you to do. You've got extra money, you put it in your retirement fund. So that's where all my money was. I had IRAs and I had 401ks. I turned that IRA into a self-directed IRA. It was a process. Now you can do it quickly online. This was more than a decade ago when I did it. It was a process to do it, and It was just crazy, right? Everything was manual, mailed in, all your forms and paperwork, and they'd mail you something back. And it was tough, but I did it, and I purchased that home in the self-directed IRA, not knowing any better, right? That was prior to Lifestyles Unlimited. I did everything wrong and still made a 9% return. What else did I do to get money to get started? Well, I took out a loan against my 401k. The first loan I took, I borrowed $30,000 from my 401k. I was still employed, and basically they took a portion of that $30,000 each and every month. I ended up paying that $30,000 back in about 6 months and still had the real estate asset that I had purchased with that first 401k loan. I did it again. Once I paid the $30 back, I borrowed $50 from my 401k, and I took that and invested it. What else did I do? I took out a HELOC, a line of credit, some years back. On my personal property, I took $100,000 to invest in an apartment community back then. Well, that apartment community has gone full cycle and sold, and now I'm invested in two more apartment communities. Was I upset at adding the extra mortgage onto my personal home for the $100,000 that's now worth somewhere in the neighborhood of over $400,000 today? No, not at all. What else did I do to find the money to invest more into real estate? Well, as I bought single-family properties and rented those out to good people, after some time, I was able to refinance single-family properties. At one time, I took five single-family properties, put it all into one loan with a refinance, and pulled another $100,000 out to invest in more real estate. That was years ago, and it's still growing for me today. I sold some of my single-family properties, and when I sold those, I was able to begin investing in apartment communities as a multifamily passive investor. So I sold some of the houses. Eventually, I got to this point. I cashed out my 401k, and I cashed out my IRA. I did this incrementally, and with that money, was able to purchase more real estate, over 12 houses, over 30 different multifamily investments that I'm engaged in, all over 13 years' time. But do you see what I did? I sacrificed to get that money to build that cash flow snowball. Am I sweating that I paid 10% penalties in my 401k and IRA and paid the taxes? No, not at all. It's my money now. Did it hurt at the time? Yes, that it was tremendously painful, but it was only painful for 1 year as I was able to invest those funds and double those funds and make them grow and grow and grow. But this has all been done over only 13 years. If you haven't started, the best time to start as a real estate investor was in the past. But if you haven't started, the best time to start is now, right? Now, so that you can compound your money, so that your money can earn money, can earn money, can earn money. So I'm very excited over the next 13 years. My portfolio is growing, but I'm not where I wanted to be. So when we were getting started as a family, my wife and I, we decided we would put off certain purchases, right? We still put off certain purchases. We buy memories today rather than stuff. Would I rather have a ski boat? Yeah, absolutely. I love water skiing, wakeboarding, surfing. I love all of that, but I know the boat will come one day. I'm not going to put a boat now in front of another investment that I can make. We drive used cars. I've had my truck for 8 years, right? My teenagers all had jobs growing up because we understand the time value of money. When my kids were young, my son and daughter shared a car for a few years. So yeah, are there things that we would like to do? Absolutely. But we also want to maintain a certain value within the cash flow snowball. So it's sacrifice, just like the parable I was discussing where the family sacrificed to pay for the bull, to feed the bull. The farmer knew eventually the bull would become valuable and sire a herd of cattle for him. And his wealth grew exponentially, but he suffered like a dog for 2 or 3 years. Now, is my family suffering today? No, not even close. Would my kids like a new car? Sure. Same for my wife, same for me, and a bunch of other things as well. But we are making the cash flow snowball the priority. We're not deprived. We're not down and out like the farmer is, but we have the mindset and we have the philosophy to be on board to grow the cash flow snowball. We understand it still takes sacrifice and discipline. But if I didn't have the sacrifice and discipline to get started, I wouldn't have over 30 multifamily passive investments. I would have never been able to buy those single family rental properties if I hadn't sacrificed. And I did that because as a real estate investor, I learned it, yes, it takes money to make money and it takes sacrifice to get that initial money in there. But I learned the time value of money. Friends, if you can take it now and deploy it and invest it in the way we teach, you'll never look back. You'll never look back. But most people won't do it. They won't do it. If they've got the money in the IRA or 401k, they're just dead set on that 10% penalty. And I'm telling you, that 10% penalty is nothing. It's nothing. So the lessons from the tale that I shared, the parable, and if you missed it, of the farmer and the bull, go back and catch it in the earlier segments. But the lessons learned, have a plan, okay? Have a plan. Know where you're going and have a plan and have the sacrifice and discipline. That plan may be, Mike, I'm gonna buy my first rental property in the next 90 days, or I'm going to buy one rental property per year. That's slow. I tell you, once you get going, you'll buy more than that. But have a plan and be willing to stay the course. Like the farmer had a plan. The farmer could have quit. He could have started feeding the bull and a year later gave up and sold it, and he could have bailed out, but he had discipline and sacrifice. He was able to recognize the opportunity. You need to recognize the opportunity that's out there, and you have to be willing to do without to support a course of action, right? Just like the farmer, he did without, supported a cause of action, and it changed his life. And that's why, as real estate investors, I want you to remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.